Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is October 22nd, 2020, and I promise you don't want to miss today's show. If you're listening to this, the replay, the rebroadcast, or the podcast, you're going to be happy you tuned in. I promise you that. So first of all, today we're going to be exploring the role of alpha-lipoic acid in fat and weight loss to start out. And then later in the show, if you're a fan of the carnivore diet, which a lot of people are getting on board with for various reasons like autoimmunity and chronic inflammation, well, we have some special details about the best possible beef that you could ever eat. And it used to be only available in Italy, but it's available here in the United States now. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Before we get started, I have to thank my title sponsor, Legendary Foods. The website is eatlegendary.com. The code is SHR10 for 10% off all of your low-sugar, low-carb treats. Don't forget to try the new tasty pastry. The brand new one is a hot fudge sundae. Those of you who know about the tasty pastry, it's basically a Pop-Tart upgraded with less than 1 gram of sugar, 3 to 4 impact carbs, and 9 grams of high-quality, high-leucine protein. EatLegendary.com, SHR10 for 10% off. Check it out. Bring my guest on. And he is, open up his mic, none other than Professor Troy Hagen. He is with the Linus Pauling Institute. How you doing, Professor Hagen? Oh, sorry about that. Do I have you open? There we go. Sorry, I had your mic closed.
Oh, okay. I'm doing just fine. I hope I'm on now.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. Really good. Really good. Thank you. So this is a fascinating study. Elisa found this study and said we have to do this interview because it's about how alpha-lipoic acid may influence fat loss in relatively healthy people who just happen to be obese. Before we get into that designation, because I want to know what classifies somebody as being relatively healthy yet obese. But more importantly, I think that we should talk first about your background in studying alpha-lipoic acid, how far back it goes. We talked about BASF. Talk about where you started studying alpha-lipoic acid.
Well, I was a postdoctoral fellow with Bruce Ames at the University of California, Berkeley. And we started getting involved with lipoic acid in the, let's say mid-90s. So I've been working with lipoic acid for some time. I've now moved up to Oregon State and the Linus Pauling Institute, but we've been working with lipoic acid, especially as an adjunct to perhaps see how it's working to improve health span, not necessarily lifespan, but health span, the time of one's life, live free from disease and disuse. And we're still working on it today. So I'm very, very excited about this molecule. It's fascinating, and it has fascinated me for years. Early on, you alluded to BASF, which is really kind of like the mover and shaker it was in the 90s, because they were looking at lipoic acid. Indeed, a lot of the Germans were for an anti-diabetic compound. So they've used this as an adjunct in Germany for over 50 years in terms of glucose handling and the like. And BASF, as of course we all know, is a very, very large corporation, and they hold a lot of the patents for synthesizing lipoic acid as well as separating lipoic acid from two versions. One, the left-handed version, or S lipoic acid, and the other one, are lipoic acid. So they've owned the patents, and they've been able to drive a lot of the work because of those patent holds.
So the fact that you are studying lipoic acid for its impact on aging kind of keeps you out of their, let's say, their target, because they, I know a guy who was selling alpha lipoic acid 10 years ago as a glucose disposal agent, and he got into Walgreens and they shut him down. And he said, look, there's plenty of science. BASF showed it works, but that's an area that when you get in there, Big Pharma goes, no, 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 we're not letting you do that. But because you're looking at this innocuous aging thing, they think there's no value in that, so they just leave you alone, huh?
We kind of stay out of the way of saying that this is a drug, but looking more at it as how it's working physiologically in the body, using both cell, animal, and obviously what I'm here with you today talking about with is human work, and actually looking at how this is going. The current work I'm doing is, as you're absolutely right, Carl, this work that was just published was an NIH-sponsored study. So this is a government, federal government-sponsored study. So we didn't have any kind of sponsorship, if you will, from big corporations or anything like that when we were looking at this.
So let's talk about the study itself. How was the study designed?
So this was the endpoints were not necessarily driving new information. Lipoic acid has had a number of very small clinical studies done over the world in relation to obesity outside of the other things that it's been ascribed to. But this one was different, and this one became very difficult in terms of the setup because you already alluded to it, Carl. We wanted to look at the direct effect of lipoic acid, in this case, R-lipoic acid, in terms of how it affected obesity, but in otherwise healthy individuals. And to find obese individuals but don't have comorbidities is not an easy task.
Well, let's address that for a second. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, a study was published that showed that obese people weren't unhealthy. And so what they took were fairly young people who were obese. And they said, look, all these markers are just as good as non-obese people. But I think that the analogy I gave when we talked about that study on the show was you can pull a Winnebago with a Cooper, a Mini Cooper. And you could probably pull it for a year or two. But after a while, the workload on that Mini Cooper, pulling all that weight, stopping all that weight, the car is going to break down. So I think that when we look at metabolically deranged people and obesity, there's a long period of time where the body works hard, especially if you're still in the reproductive age group, where we'll manage some of these markers, if you will. But then after a while, you start to succumb to them. Would you speak to that?
You have a really good sense of how things are moving here. Obesity is a progressive disorder, meaning that you can become overweight, and if you remain overweight, you're not necessarily having additional problems immediately, but you're at risk for developing further, as you say, derangements or dysfunction. So, for instance, obesity can lead to a lack of glucose handling, a lack of adiposity, where you're spilling lipids into other tissues outside the fat. You can start inducing inflammation, which is a major, major underlying problem here. But it doesn't necessarily begin that way. It keeps moving that way. And as you get further and further along the obesity scale, meaning a higher and higher BMI, then you have more problems for hyperlipidemia, hypertension, cardiovascular disease risk factors, and the like. So it's a syndrome, and not everybody has it, and not everybody has every one of these markers at any one time. And actually, this is part of the rationale of why we were doing this with, let's say, moderately obese subjects here that did not have a lot of these other confounding factors already, because frankly, what we wanted to see was whether a supplement, lipoic acid, which you can get at any health food store or even your grocery store at the levels that we're providing them. We're not providing them in very high levels.
Right.
And you do something in this pre-determinative portion of the obesity or metabolic syndrome, where you can kind of affect the trajectory toward that decline that we were talking about.
Is there any reason to think, or would your next study be on people who are actually have already reached metabolic derangement? Wouldn't it make sense that it works for them as well? It just may take longer?
Well, there have been other studies, very small, that have looked especially at, let's say, comorbidities, let's say obesity with type 2 diabetes and the like. And lipoic acid does indeed, in those other studies outside of our own, seem to have effect on weight. It does. In fact, meta-analysis, where you look at it, just all the studies combined, there is clearly an effect on BMI. Many of these studies, though, have confounding variables. For instance, some are this racemic mixture of LA, R, and S. Some have one comorbidity, like type 2 diabetes. Others don't. And then some even do exactly, perhaps like you're kind of getting to, is if you combine lipoic acid, let's say, with a low-fat diet or a high-protein diet, does it have an accentuated effect? And yeah, all those can be done, and some of them have already been done. The bottom line is that weight loss seems to be a marker for most of these studies. But when you're trying to get out how LA is working, bioavailability, and what to actually give to people, then you get into all these variables that you can't tease them out.
Right.
That's the thing. So you're right. I think follow-up studies, we can now start doing some of those things, where we can start doing added variables into a study and looking at them, because now we know a baseline.
Right.
We know what lipoic acid is doing on its own and without those other variables in terms of health there. It's simply weight with this.
So you indicated off the air, that lipoic acid in the R form is naturally occurring in our body in small amounts. Our body produces it. But as you point out also, there's different versions of it. There's the R, there's the S, and then there's the just plain old alpha-lipoic acid, which is 50% of each. Do we know what these other forms do besides the R? Do we know what S does? Does it do anything?
We know some things, especially from rodent studies. There's almost no studies except for the original BASF people who have looked at this in type 2 diabetes for a clinical basis for R and S. So the R form, let me even back up from this, though.
Okay.
I have to give your audience a little bit of background knowledge, and I promise I won't be a wonky scientist too much.
No, be it. Here. This is a very intelligent audience. This is a highly intelligent audience. You can geek out.
I'm sure of that, and I also don't want to speak down to anybody either. Right. That's another problem that we have. So you correctly said that lipoic acid is synthesized in the body. Lipoic acid that is synthesized in the body is the R form, and is attached to certain enzymes and allows enzyme function, especially in terms of turning raw fuels, especially glucose and all, into metabolic energy, ATP. When you take lipoic acid, though, or bring it in from the diet, that lipoic acid is not incorporated. Let me repeat that, not incorporated into those enzymes. Lipoic acid from the diet is working somewhat differently than its normal metabolic role. We have discovered, as well as other groups, that lipoic acid from the diet is taken in by what's called the sodium-dependent vitamin transport protein. It is highly bioavailable. It's taken into the bloodstream, and it is usually taken up by the liver and then passed out from the liver to other various organs. Lipoic acid from the diet, even if you take it as a supplement, is quickly taken into tissues and quickly disposed of. quickly. I'm talking about if you gave this with a radio label or something so right. you could follow it, if you take an oral dose, that would be excreted. Almost all of it would be excreted within 24 hours. Okay? So lipoic acid transiently builds up into cells and tissues, but it packs a wallop, it looks like, both in terms of what we're talking about today as well as other effects. So lipoic acid works what we call pleiotropically. It works because of the sulfurs that are highly redox active on it, and it does a lot of things quickly. So that's one thing I have to dispel. So there's a metabolic effect that is from the from synthesis, and then there is the dietary effect. Now getting to R and RS, R is the natural form. R is actually recognized by enzymes in the cell and can be reduced to a very active form. The S seems to be working too, but at a much lower rate of turning into an active form, okay? There is very little evidence that the S has negative connotations to health or body, but there are kind of some good examples that I can tell you where it doesn't seem to work as well as the R form. And so that's why, again, to not have this variable effect, which other studies have done with obesity and weight loss of lipoic acid, we chose to look at this as the pure R form of lipoic acid.
That makes perfect sense. So describe the study. How was the study designed? You had a control group. You had a test group. What do you guys do?
This is a double-blind, placebo-controlled parallel study. So it's a gold standard of clinical trials, meaning we did not know as the scientist who got what. We had a person that had a marker. They were all blinded. We had just A, B, C, and it was handed out randomly to the people that were included in the study. Back to that, the inclusion criteria was people with a BMI of 30 or greater, which did because we could not find enough individuals in the Portland area. We went down a little bit on BMI, but the exclusion criteria was you could not be taking any lipid-lowering drugs, you could not be on any weight loss type of regimens, you could not change your lifestyle. We wanted people to be eating their normal food and working out or moderately exercising. So we literally chose people that were not basically gym rats or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
These folks were basically fairly sedentary American. Let's put it this way. And it took a long time to recruit people in that were basically healthy, except for the fact we did want to see levels of fairly high triglycerides, which goes along with obesity
yeah.
in that respect. Yeah. And then they were randomly chosen, put into one group, the placebo group, or into the R lipoic acid supplemented group. And they were asked to take lipoic acid only 600 milligrams a day.
One bolus, one dose, that's it.
One dose. We wanted it at one dose. They took 200-300 milligram tablets, and they did that about 30 minutes before their breakfast. Why is that? That's because of some work that we've done in the laboratory here at the Linus Pauling Institute, where we showed that taking lipoic acid by mouth about 30 minutes before you have a meal is the best way of fully absorbing that dose. If you take it with food, obviously you're going to get less actually into your body, okay? And we want to do this too with food because lipoic acid, some people have a problem with lipoic acid. Fortunately, it's very small, but there are about 1% of people when we are doing studies that have stomach upset because of all the sulfur that lipoic acid has. So we wanted to take it with, you know, fairly close to food, which limits that overall problem with stomach upset.
Also, isn't it wise to take it before a meal? So I had a good friend whose mom has since passed, but she was a type 2 diabetic. And this was about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was on, she was insulin dependent at the time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and recklessly, I told her, you should try alpha lipoic acid, our alpha lipoic acid. And yeah. she did. And she became spontaneous hypoglycemic within the first couple of days. And her doctor said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm taking this. And he lowered her insulin dose by half. And she kept taking the R-ALA, and eventually she got off the insulin. So isn't it wise to take it before a meal that contains carbohydrates if you're moderately insulin resistant already?
Well, you make a great point, and it's something I tend to give this advice all the time. There is a group of people, and it, you've just given a great example, where lipoic acid can induce glucose receptors to the surface of the liver. That's why it's being used in diabetes. And you can pull out so much glucose out of the bloodstream, you can actually become hypoglycemic. So you need to watch it. It is, that is a contrary indication to lipoic acid if you're sensitive to hypoglycemic episodes. On the other hand, if you're a diabetic, this is something that is very efficacious for many diabetics.
Right.
And so, therefore, it is being used. It's being used in Germany for that very reason. And it's actually being looked at clinically. I know that there's a study or work going on, I think, at UC San Francisco, where they're combining lipoic acid with metformin, which is another glucose-lowering drug. And there are some remarkable evidence that you can do a very good thing for yourself of lowering high glucose levels when, if you have that condition, you know, type 2 diabetes for sure, obviously other types of diabetes as well. So, but you do have to watch it. So I definitely caution your audience to watch this.
Start low and go slow.
I always tell people, you know, try at a low dose.
Try 200 milligrams, then try 4, then try 6, and just kind of grow
exactly.
into it. Yeah.
And so typically what I recommend, and actually what I do, because I take lipoic acid myself, is I started out about 200 milligrams. You can get that amount easily from a grocery store or some, you know, a health food store.
Yeah.
See how it works, and then move up from there. For us, 600 milligrams seems to be the kind of like the golden amount for many people. And so we tend to do things at 600 milligrams for people. Although I'll also tell you, Carl, people for diabetes are using as much as 1,200 milligrams a day.
Yeah, I could see that. People who are severely metabolically deranged, they're going to have to go higher. So you just cleared up something else for me. I have always referred to alpha lipoic acid as an insulin mimetic, but it's not. It's a glucose disposal agent.
Well, it is an insulin mimetic in that it acts on a receptor or a protein like an insulin molecule would. It does some of the same things. That's the inherent nature of its chemistry. So in that sense, in a broad sense, it kind of is an insulin mimetic. But in reality, it's doing something different than insulin in order to do these things. Now, most of the mechanism has been worked out in rodents, I'll hasten to add.
Right.
And of course, it may be slightly different in people. We're not rodents. And so therefore, that's why we have to move from rodent studies to human studies for doing these things. In the current paper, we looked at glucose levels, although the glucose levels were normal in these subjects. That was another, you know, reason for recruiting these subjects.
Okay, did you look at how much insulin they were producing in order to maintain low levels?
No, we did not.
That would have been the magic.
It'd be a great follow-up.
Yeah.
Absolutely great follow-up to do that. Yeah. Are you getting more kind of metabolically stable, if you will? You don't need as much of
insulin.
This, so.
Which would lead me to the question, is there any evidence that R-ALA improves insulin sensitivity on a receptor level?
There is in rodents. In high-fat fed rodents as well. You can make the inference from the diabetic studies in Germany as well, that there would be some of that.
Okay.
But it's evidence for humans. I would say that needs follow-up.
I have a lot more questions. We have to take a break. We're going to take a break 3 minutes early so I can add the 3 minutes to the next segment. We're talking today with Professor Torrey Hagen. He is with the Linus Pauling Institute. We're talking about R-alpha-lipoic acid, which is making me take a second look at it. I have supposedly the best R-ALA in the world from Live On Labs. Oh, you can't see it because my green screen. But this is lipospherically delivered R-ALA at 226 milligrams per packet. And I'm going to start taking three a day. And I obviously, the other thing that makes a lot of sense to me is since it has a 24-hour half-life, I don't have to take it before every meal. I could just take what I want in the morning, or I could spread it out if I'm afraid that I'm going to become hypoglycemic because there's not enough carbohydrates in my diet.
Well, maybe we can start there as to maybe a reason why I take it as a bolus when we come back.
Let's
do that. I have something to say about that.
Okay, that sounds great. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Guys, you've heard about this revolutionary acoustic wave technology that improves your sexual performance. It's been used in Europe for 20 years and has a 90% success rate of reversing symptoms of ED. Even if you're not suffering from ED, it can take you back to peak sexual performance of your younger days. The Phoenix uses powerful sound waves to clear plaque blockage and substantially increase blood flow. It's easy to use, has no side effects, and can be done in the privacy of your own home. Doctors have been charging thousands of dollars for these treatments. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Phoenix and use the code SHR for a special superhuman deal. Regain your sexual prowess today.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA.
Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more
at Piedmontese.com. With code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Proper hydration can lead to improved endurance, performance, and recovery. When we sweat, we lose valuable electrolytes that must be replaced. That's why Element created a zero-sugar, science-backed ratio of electrolytes that you can add to your water. It comes in three flavors. Sample them all risk-free with the Element Variety Pack. Carl's favorite is Raspberry. Free shipping on all U.S. orders. Go to shrnetwork.biz/LMNT and get yours today.
My friends over at Bioptimizers, makers of industry-leading digestive supplements, have created a special recipe for you that helps boost brain performance in the morning. They make products Primergen V and Primergen M, potent liquid vitamins and mineral formulas loaded with absorbable vitamin Bs and trace minerals in a fulvic and humic acid base. You stack that with three capsules of Capex, their enzyme and energy supplement, and the effect is even stronger. You'll be buzzing without jitters or any negative side effects for hours. Bioptimizers calls this the Brain Boost Stack, and they're running a special promotion for you at shrnetwork.biz/brainstack. That's shrnetwork.biz/brainstack. You can get an additional 10% off from the normal package price with the coupon code SHR10. It's a powerful way to get your brain going and optimize your daily focus, memory, and performance.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's drseeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Professor Torrey Hagen from the Linus Pauling Institute. We're revisiting alpha lipoic acid, and you should too. So I suggested that I would take a 200 milligram with each meal, but it's probably wiser just to take all 600 milligrams. Get up to 600 and just take it all in the morning, right?
Well, the only thing I'm going to add to that is that we've looked at this in rodents, and lipoic acid does have some effect on circadian rhythms.
Oh.
So if you take it too late in your day, whatever your day is, people have also told me that this may correlate with activity or hyperactivity at night, and they have a harder time sleeping, actually. So to avoid that, and again, I don't know in humans, but I certainly know in rodents that there is a circadian effect here that is a little bit pronounced. And so we like it in the morning, and we like it with breakfast, with a meal. And so therefore, you avoid that. And you actually regiment, if you were a rodent anyway, you would regiment your circadian rhythms a little bit better. So it's not a bad thing at all.
Well, you did say it's a signaling molecule, and that makes sense from that standpoint.
That is, yeah. And it certainly affects the brain. So,
how much weight loss was observed in the subjects that received the 600 milligram bolus of R-ALA in the morning? And okay, over what period of time? Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Right. We followed the subjects that either taking placebo or the R-ALA, as you call it, over 24 weeks. So it's a relatively long time. That's another thing that most other studies have been much shorter than this one. So we wanted to do it because this is a lower dose for a relatively long time. Again, hopefully the subjects were not changing their lifestyle, although we think that the men on placebo probably were, because they actually lost some weight on placebo, which was highly unusual. But they lost, the women especially, and those that were more obese on the more higher end obesity scale, let's say a BMI above 35, lost significant amounts of weight and changed their BMI status.
So what is significant? How much weight are we talking about?
I can't remember. I think it depended differently on men and women, but I think it was 4 to 6 pounds. And it was all fat.
And was this DEXA scan? Do we know? It was all fat. Did you do DEXA scans on
it? This was all bod pod.
Uh-huh.
So we could actually calculate true fat mass from these individuals. And so we were not seeing a weight loss per se. We were seeing a fat loss in these individuals.
Interesting.
So the bottom line was a very low level of supplementation, a very low level dose of R-alpha lipoic acid was more pronounced at 24 weeks versus the interim 12 weeks. So this was an ongoing thing. That was another significant thing, because we've seen, and there's a lot of different compounds out there, especially even antioxidant and all, that you'll see a dive in weight loss and then come back. But this one was an ongoing effect, a moderate dose, and the most obese individuals, especially women, were the ones that were most positively affected by the supplementation.
So let me get back to my questions here. You didn't look at insulin levels at this point in time. You looked at fasting blood glucose on the subjects?
We did. We did.
Were they required to keep a food diary? Do we know what percentage of their diet happened to be carbohydrates?
They were required to keep a food diary. I do have that data. I'm sorry, Carl. I can't recall the amount.
Right.
But we were basically asking them not to change their diet. We were basically asking them to keep everything the same. So there was, it was a spectrum of caloric intake. Although I will also say that the level of calories, regardless of the macronutrient that it came from, was equalized in the placebo and the R-lipoic acid supplementation group. I will also tell you this. The results were, we were interested in finding out whether lipoic acid had what's called an anorexic effect, meaning that you lost appetite or something like that that would be doing it. And there was no evidence of that based on the food questionnaires and the caloric intake at all. So that answered a question for us, because in rodents anyway, we do see a loss of appetite with lipoic acid, especially high levels of that. But that wasn't the case in the clinical work here.
So Chrissy's Fox said, bingo, she took 600 milligrams the other day. I think Chrissy's is a girl. I'm sorry if you're not. It's just a unique name. So if I got that wrong, I apologize in advance. She was he or she was up all night. Usually they take it in the morning, but there's a couple questions presented. One was for when you do empty stomach or with food. You indicated it's best to take on an empty stomach, right?
Well, I'm trying to say that take it before a meal, just before a meal, but then take the meal. Don't do this and leave yourself on, or leave the supplement on an empty stomach, in other words. Just take a few minutes, 10, 15, 20 minutes before you eat a meal is the best way of doing it. And that's if you're sensitive, though, if you're sensitive to lipoic acid and about 1% off. Let me tell you the contraindications, and not just from this study, but from other studies. What were the problems? One, number one, stomach upset in about 1% of the individuals. So very low. And we also saw almost the same thing in the placebo. So it's very low. But consistently throughout the work that has been done with lipoic acid, you see an interesting compound or concept, and that is itchiness. So some people have
like a niacin flushing, right? Like
yeah, that. Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if that might indicate some effect on prostaglandins, which I have a question about inflammation in a moment as well.
Okay. So let me see. I think I answered the question, if I'm not mistaken. So don't just leave it on an empty stomach. Okay. It's very important that you take it with a meal. And if you are sensitive, go ahead and take it with a meal.
Yeah.
You're going to get lipoic acid absorbed anyway. It's just not as much.
What about do you have any opinion at all on delivery methods? Just raw versus like a liposomal encapsulated, like I have from they used to be a sponsor of mine. Wonderful people. Cindy and Les Nachman in Las Vegas, they make a superior liposomal R-Ala, which is a lot easier to take too, because R-Ala is really bitter. I mean, when I used to take R-Ala powder, it used to burn my throat.
Yeah, I've got a little picture here. I don't know if you can see it. Let's see if I can hold it up.
Yeah, we can see that, yeah.
Lipoic acid.
Right.
So you can see two sulfurs there.
Right.
And a lot of people really are sensitive to sulfur-containing foods. It's like some people don't like broccoli, right? So it's got a lot of sulfur foods. So some people are very sensitive to that. Liposomal versus R versus racemic. I can't tell you about liposomal because I actually officially have never worked with liposomal work in the laboratory. So I can only tell you what I know. I am a fan of R lipoic acid. I'm an agnostic against R versus S right now, because I think eventually the R is going to do its work no matter how much you get in. And I do know, based on the work that we've done in animals and all, that lipoic acid is looked on nutritionally as a vitamin. It is absorbed very, very well on its own. So I couldn't tell you a side-by-side comparison with liposomal ones. I would say that the liposomal ones may be better in terms of any stomach upset, right? And I wouldn't be against liposomal ones. I have nothing to say negative about it. I just don't know on a comparative basis whether one is better than the other in terms of bringing.
And Chrissy's has one last question. She has been informed by a Dr. Cutler, who actually was on my show probably 7 years ago. He's the guy about all the amalgam fillings and get the amalgam out, that taking ALA will suffer severe mercury toxicity and deposit mercury in the brain if you have amalgam fillings. She can't find any science that says that. Maybe what he means is anything acidic, even vitamin C, in the mouth, if it's left in the mouth, could potentially break down maybe some of the cracks through the cracks in the teeth and get to the mercury. I don't see why alpha lipoic acid over other types of acids would have this unique effect to deposit mercury somewhere. Have you ever heard anything about that?
Okay, so I get asked this a lot, actually, mercury and the like. And it is certainly out there in the webverse. It's everywhere, in fact. But I know of little to no actual scientific work that shows lipoic acid is a means by which you rearrange mercury in the body. So your note in terms of an acidity, that may be, but I don't know anything specific about lipoic acid. Let me tell you a little bit, though, about that. We do know that lipoic acid in rodents, as well as in vitro, is a very good metal chelator. We know this from our own work, especially
even iron, Professor Hagen?
Iron is not... Lipoic acid does not bind iron that well, but it binds copper... And it is actually given clinically if you have acute mercury poisoning.
Wow.
It's actually given in the emergency room. Why? Because lipoic acid is not doing anything on its own, but lipoic acid induces another antioxidant, glutathione, which is one of the body's natural ones. And glutathione will bind to mercury and hasten its disposal and excretion from the kidneys. So lipoic acid does have an effect on, shall we say, mobilizable metals. But it has also been shown, we showed it too in our laboratory, that you can't remove metals from proteins with lipoic acid. So it doesn't make proteins, as we call it, APO, or loss of important metals. That it can remove things like when we see an aging, we see an accumulation of certain metals, we see a benefit, especially in the brain, when lipoic acid is given to rodents and the like. So I've not seen anything negative is what I want as a bottom line in terms of mobilizing metals. I've seen only benefit.
Okay. So now let's get back onto some of the discussion that we want to have about the potential benefits of supplementing with lipoic acid. I told you a story off the air. I'm about to go for intra-articular injections in my hip to help regrow cartilage. And I ate a lot of sugar yesterday. And my hip is really bothering me today, like the worst it's ever bothered me. I had a couple glasses of alcohol. I had chocolate cake. I ate bread. I ate starches. And I don't usually eat that sort of stuff. And we know, especially sugar, is part of the inflammatory process that destroys chondrocytes. In fact, they use osmolar dextrose injections to speed along the damage of chondrocytes to create an artificial arthritic joint in rodents. So anything that manages and disposes glucose and keeps glucose levels low, in theory, should do two things. Number one, should have beneficial effects on chronic inflammation. Number two, should actually be anti-aging in the true sense of anti-aging, in that we know that cellular senescence is triggered by glucose signaling. So when your glucose goes up, cells age rapidly. Talk about inflammation and inflammaging, which they like to call it now, and the role of lipoic acid possibly being a prophylactic.
Okay, so to get older is to become inflamed. This is something that we are now acknowledging. And I'm acutely aware of this because I'm nearly 60. So I'm getting to that point too. So what does that mean? It means that you're, for various reasons, one is glucose is one thing, but there is just a increased levels of pro-inflammatory markers or cytokines that are occurring in the body as you get older. And it's because of many effects, but primarily it is a kind of a dysregulation of the normal homeostasis for metabolism. And one is glucose. Glucose can do many, many different things. If anybody, I'm sure your audience has grilled meat. I mean, it's a typical thing. Well, when you brown meat, you're basically taking a lot of sugars, and that is the browning process called a Michael.
That's the glycogen in muscle. That's the glycogen in muscle.
And you make things called advanced glycation end products, which are very pro-inflammatory.
Right.
So your body builds up these compounds as you get older too and the like. You also then start getting a dysregulation of fat metabolism, and you start producing more inflammatory molecules called inflammatory cytokines. It's just very common. So again, to become older is to become inflamed at a low level. You then start inducing many different aspects of inflammaging, which includes senescent cells and the like, as well as higher oxidative stress, activation at a low dose of the immune cells chronically. This is part and parcel of arthritis, as you were saying, degradation of joints and the like. And we all experience this as we get older. So what about lipoic acid? Lipoic acid is a remarkable compound in that it's not like a drug that is targeted to a single, you know, entity, a single protein or something like that. Its reactivity is in those sulfurs. And so therefore it becomes almost a slight stress, a weakened stress. We would also maybe call it a hormetic stress. Mm-hmm. Hormesis is a natural kind of phenomenon that will have a small effect, maybe not necessarily a bad effect, but induce the body to doing a lot of good things to try to alleviate that effect. And if you're asking me, Carl, how lipoic acid works, my job as a professor is to tell you that our studies are showing that it is a weak stressor that then induces the cell to do something about it. Remember, we talked about that it comes into the body quickly and it goes quickly. So it's not working on its own, but it's inducing endogenous stress resistance to then ameliorate that stress and do good things. We see this in many ways. One, we see this, and we saw this in the study that we're talking about today. We looked at pro-inflammatory markers. Even though these were individuals were simply obese, we were looking at inflammatory markers, and we saw the stress response of the body going up. Even though they didn't have high levels of inflammation, the stress response system was still induced. So it was a movement more toward an anti-inflammatory
effect. It's gonna, if you have basal inflammation and the body handles it by giving a basal response, and then all of a sudden without the inflammation elevating, you elevate the response, you're going to suppress the inflammation even more.
That's right. That's what we want to see. And we also know that lipoic acid acts as a so-called transcription inducer. So what does that mean? So in our own laboratory, we have a number of studies out showing that lipoic acid will activate gene expression, and the genes that are expressed are all around a transcription factor called NRF2. NRF2 is our body's major kind of sentinel in terms of turning on a number of anti-stress genes, oxidative stress, detoxification, and anti-inflammation genes. So lipoic acid works nuclearly in order to do a lot of its things. So my real surprise after all these years is I moved from lipoic acid as an antioxidant to lipoic acid as a weak stressor that does the body good by turning on the cellular stress resistance mechanisms and heightening them in order to maintain, let's say, cellular homeostasis, and in our sense, lowering especially the start of inflammatory markers. So that's a good thing, I think. I haven't seen negative things.
Any of these genes, I'm fascinated with neonatal genes. I'm 62 now. I've been experimenting with fairly high doses of oxytocin post-workout because oxytocin has an ability to turn on neonatal genes in the heart. And when we think of the heart and aging, we want those neonatal genes that actually created the heart in the first place sometimes to turn back on and repair the heart
as we age. Any evidence that any of those gene sets are neonatal in nature that alpha-lipoic acid affects?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Most of what we've seen so far, we've alluded to this, Carl, maybe I should bring this into the audience, is around insulin signaling. So that's a signaling effect.
Right.
And we've also seen this around, again, NRF2, which turns on as many as 300 anti-stress genes. So
Wow. This
isn't a small thing.
Right.
But getting back to your question, I don't know of any studies, and certainly not ours, that have seen anything in terms of neonatal type of genes like what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
I do know that lipoic acid in the heart, I've done a number of studies of that, and the heart is a organ that we are worried about as you get older because, you know, it has to keep working. And in reality, the number of cells there are declining as you get older.
Right.
So you don't tend to refurbish the heart with the number of cells. The cells that you have just get bigger and still have to do the same work.
Right.
But we have been looking at lipoic acid along with another supplement, carnitine,
Yeah. In
terms of cardiovascular work.
Right.
And the combination seems to be very, very exciting to us. That's pushing us forward into that realm as well.
I'm going to add, I'm going to start taking my R-ALA in the morning pre-workout, but I already take D-ribose, a very bioavailable form of magnesium. I take acetyl L-carnitine. Yeah,
good.
I take acetyl L-carnitine and I take CoQ10 because that allows the heart to work really hard. And so I'm going to add the R-ALA to it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you about any effects on gut microbiome diversity and also autoimmunity. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrine, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes 1 cap of each and 2 caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack. Proper hydration can lead to improved endurance, performance, and recovery. When we sweat, we lose valuable electrolytes that must be replaced. That's why Element created a zero-sugar, science-backed ratio of electrolytes that you can add to your water. It comes in 3 flavors. Sample them all risk-free with the Element Variety Pack. Carl's favorite is raspberry. Free shipping on all U.S. orders. Go to shrnetwork.biz/LMNT and get yours today.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave believe it. You'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
When craving a snack, reach for a Select Savory Snack Sugar-Free Biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So, Professor Hagen, everybody's fascinated by the microbiome today. In fact, we're doing an interview. Very few people really understand anything about it. And there's a large body of evidence that it responds to diet. It doesn't influence. So given the fact that this is a hormetic signaling agent, it is a glucose disposal agent, it potentially is an insulin sensitizing, receptor sensitizing agent, any role in changing the diversity of microbes in the gut, leaning towards, you know, Firmicutes or Bacteroidetes or anything like that?
Your question is an excellent one. And frankly, it is one of the directions that we are posing going forward from the study we've currently done. We don't know. That's the bottom line. It is a black box as to how lipoic acid is affecting the microbiome. I would say this, from the scant studies that have been out there, lipoic acid could be being used by the GI tract, by the microbiome in the GI tract, and the actually efficacious molecules may be those metabolites from the microbiome. That is a very, very distinct possibility. So I cannot answer your very good question. I'd love to be able to answer the question. I think it's a natural to look at this. Any small molecule like lipoic acid that is sulfur-containing is just a natural fit for being taken up and being utilized by the GI tract and the gut microbiome. We do know that there is methylation going on of our ALA, and that's likely from the gut microbiome. We don't know what that means in terms of its use in the cell and in the natural body, but we would strongly suspect that the microbiome influences lipoic acid, and lipoic acid would influence the microbiome.
Okay, a couple more questions. Alpha lipoic acid, autoimmunity, and neuropathy. Two, autoimmunity and neuropathy are rampant in our population. The truth is that the medical orthodoxy doesn't know. They used to think neuropathy was a result of advanced glycation. Now they're saying it's vasculature in nature. It could be inflammatory in nature. These two conditions kind of overlap. People with autoimmunity develop neuropathies. What about ALA?
Well, the only way I can answer this is some of the work related to diabetes, which would be polyneuropathies of diabetes, has been well studied without lipoic acid. And it does seem to have a positive effect on the neuropathies associated with diabetes. In fact, that's one of the biggest uses that lipoic acid is being done in Europe with. Interestingly there, Carl, and getting into perhaps what could be done with autoimmunity as well as other forms of neuropathies, lipoic acid, there is some evidence now, is very new, that it's starting to work on certain of the nociceptors, which are part of the brain signaling or the neuronal signaling of pain. And lipoic acid seems to have a direct effect on certain protein receptors in that regard. So again, just like you had with the gut microbiome, these are very good questions, not totally answerable. But I will say, in terms of a glucose inflammation access, also vascular, which are the polyneuropathies of diabetes, There is clear beneficial evidence that lipoic acid works, but it has to be very high levels. They're giving that relatively
higher than the 600 milligrams a day.
Yeah, they're giving it 1,200, I believe, for something like that.
Okay, which leads to my next and last question. This is a selfish one. So once a week, I take 6 milligrams of rapamycin for its ability to dispose of senescent cells. Would it pay for me to do a mega dose, a 1,200 milligram dose of R-ALA on those? Now, keep in mind, rapamycin has a 3-day half-life, okay? So it's pretty long-lasting. But just on that day one, what if I did a mega dose? Would that be harmful? Are there any harmful effects? Are there any unwanted effects of taking that high of a dose of R-ALA?
So rapamycin will work on the mTOR system of the cell, which is the energy balancing system. I couldn't answer your question directly whether a megadose would be detrimental. I would say that it would lead into that same system through another system of energy balance, because lipoic acid can work on AMP kinase.
Right, and that's so what you want. You want AMPK, right? You want that to rise.
Right. So you could have additive effects there. I could also see maybe possibly, antagonistic effects. So I couldn't answer that. So scientifically, I better stick to saying I don't know.
Okay. What about sans the rapamycin? Just a 1,200 milligram dose, maybe once a week of R-ALA. Any negative effects I should be aware of?
Other than what we've described, of gastrointestinal work like that. And the hypoglycemic effect would be the only thing I would watch out for.
I'm extremely metabolically flexible. I can fast for 2 or 3 days and train and live. So I don't think that I would become hypoglycemic. I think my body, I know my body produces ketones relatively quickly after a 16-hour fast. So I think that I'm safe there. I'm going to give it a try next week and see what happens.
Well, all I can say then is that as a molecule, lipoic acid, outside of the things that we've talked about, seems relatively safe. That's all I'm going to say, up to a certain dose. It's interesting that there are different LD50s in different organisms, but humans seem to tolerate it pretty well. I'll say that.
Okay. Fascinating research. I hope that when you learn more, you'll come back on the show and talk about it. And I will be taking my R-ALA every day. I'm going to start tomorrow morning with a 600 milligram dose first thing in the morning.
Well, sounds great. And I'd love to come back too, Carl.
Yes, thank you for being here today. Have a great day. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by the guys from Piedmontese, Certified Piedmontese, because we're going to be talking about the carnivore diet and why Piedmontese beef should be the beef that you use and choose. If you are on the carnivore diet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrin, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Guys, you've heard about this revolutionary acoustic wave technology that improves your sexual performance. It's been used in Europe for 20 years and has a 90% success rate of reversing symptoms of ED. Even if you're not suffering from ED, it can take you back to peak sexual performance of your younger days. The Phoenix uses powerful sound waves to clear plaque blockage and substantially increase blood flow. It's easy to use, has no side effects, and can be done in the privacy of your own home. Doctors have been charging thousands of dollars for these treatments. Go to shrnetwork.biz/phoenix and use the code SHR for a special superhuman deal. Regain your sexual prowess today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Mind Bullet is a kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA.
Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more
at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're joined by Ben Mole and Joe Finnegan, the guys over at Certified Piedmontese. How you guys doing?
We're doing real well. Husker football season starts this Friday, so you couldn't be more excited about that.
I don't know anything about that. I'm like a chick when it comes to sports. I shouldn't say I'm like a chick, because the truth is that Annalisa, my future wife, knows more about basketball, football, baseball, and everything else than I do. And she's always excited when the World Series is on, and when what's the big football game at the end of the season? The
Super Bowl.
See, I can't even tell you the name of this stuff. I pay no attention to it whatsoever. No bandwidth dedicated to sports, so I'm not excited about that. Sadly,
here in Nebraska, it's pretty much beef farming and Husker football all on the same level, and then that's pretty much it.
That's so funny.
We're excited to kick the season off because football season includes a lot of beef, so it's. It's always a good thing for us here.
Well, in my house, every day includes a lot of beef. You know, I eat a pound of beef on average every single day, and I've been doing that for close to a decade now. But I've talked about certified Piedmontese beef on the show before, and I think that people think that I'm just pimping it when I say it's the best beef in the world. If you guys left the show and weren't sponsors, I would still believe that it's the best beef in the world. And the major portion of that reason is because of the taste. Now, I've learned, Ben, you've taught me how to cook the beef the best. I used to overcook my beef, and I don't. And you know when you cooked it just the right amount, because it literally tastes like you slathered it in butter without adding any butter to it, really.
Yeah.
But there's another secret about Piedmontese beef that I don't think people understand. The average person thinks that all beef is the same number of grams of protein per ounce. And this is a big deal if you are a high protein or keto person. Like, being able to squeeze an extra gram of protein out of an ounce of beef is like getting money back on your purchase. Talk about the fact of how the Piedmontese breed is actually higher protein per pound compared to conventional beef.
Sure. I mean, if you think all the talk about a New York strip, for example, because of these cattle being leaner, they have less fat and connective tissue and really throughout the entire carcass. So when you're talking about a New York strip, you're getting less fat, less connective tissue. And so to fill that space, it's just basically more meat. So when you're buying a traditional steak, the fat that you're getting isn't constituting for more protein. It's just our steaks have more steak. You know, and
that's
because
good.
Of of those, you know, denser muscle fibers and all that less fat tissue is still resulting in a very tender bite as well. So, I mean, for people that are really, really macro watching their nutrients and their calorie intake and fat, I mean, really there is no better beef out there. And when we talk about the better taste, it comes back to that too, is that you're not tasting fat. You know, you're tasting beef the way it should be, and we raise it all natural. You're grazing in some of the best grasses that are available on the entire planet right here in Nebraska. So when you take good land, good cattle, good ranchers, and a good way to finish and process the beef, you're getting a taste of real Nebraska beef, and that's why it's the best.
So this is a good point to kind of hit again, Joe. People think that it's the fat in the beef that gives it the flavor, but it's really not, right? The fat gives you a certain feel on the tongue, and there is enough fat in Piedmontese beef to get that feel. But the flavor really doesn't come from the fat, does it?
Right, and that's kind of just the whole misconception with what the industry as a whole has only ever told you is fat equals flavor, fat equals flavor, fat equals flavor. But with our beef, if you, I mean, you obviously know, but if you haven't tried it, you know, you're getting a really clean beef eating flavor. And just with that finishing period of, you know, 90 to 120 days of grain, it really rounds out that really rich beef flavor profile and gives it just enough fat, but it doesn't take it to the extreme of the Wagyu cattle or even, you know, prime grade beef, because when you're getting into those extremes, you're actually, you know, eating 75% of what's on your plate. And then the rest of that 20 to 25% of leftovers is on your plate by way of fat.
Or so, connective tissue and stuff like that. And, you know, for people who like that fattier feeling, you know, a lot of chefs, myself included, you know, you could drizzle with a nice, you know, extra virgin olive oil, and you'll get that fat flavor without actually having to eat actual fat.
I have an idea that I'm going to try. So I'm getting ready to order some beef in the next few days, maybe next week. And I'm going to order a couple of those tomahawks. They're beautiful. But I'm also going to order some marrow bones. And what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to get the steak cooked to where it's pretty good. You know, like it's maybe just needs another 4 or 5 minutes on the grill. And then I'm going to scrape the marrow out and drop it on top and just let that melt and ooze. What do you think of that idea?
I did something very similar to that actually just this last Friday.
You just took it 10 degrees higher.
Tell me what you tell me what you did, Joe. I want to do it your way. I want to do it right.
So I have a, you know, being Ben and I, being foodies that we are, I put it, it was technically a cowboy cut ribeye. So I just cut the tomahawk bone down. So the bone was only about this long on the end.
Okay, good.
And then I put it in a sous vide circulator and sous vide it. I believe it was like 129 temperature.
Right.
And then what I did was I roasted marrow bones and then I made like a chimichurri of sorts with basil, parsley, lemon juice and some garlic, and then I roasted those marrow bones, slid the marrow into that chimichurri, gave it a good mix, and then I laid that on top of the steak, and I ate that with a scallop scampi. My wife was blown away. So,
wow, you really are a foodie. No, you really are. Wow, that sounds so freaking delicious.
Most folks with those bones, you can soak it in like a brine, a saltwater brine, and that'll actually help draw out some of the impurities or blood within those bones. So that could sit in there for like 8 hours or a day, pull those out, dry them off, then, you know, all those salt and pepper and roast. You're right. It's just going to be such a nice, you know, beef butter essentially that you're putting on the steaks, and, you know, a lot of good nutrients within that marrow, and really a good healthier fat to really add to steak. I mean, if you are a butter person, you could fold it into a butter. So you get kind of a marrow butter. That's also a really great idea. But yeah, Joe throwing with herbs. I mean, it looks pretty on the plate too.
I've just been using like marrow instead of butter, honestly. It's so good.
So delicious. I know. I've been eating marrow bones forever. In fact, a funny story. My 60th birthday, I invited a bunch of people to this Italian restaurant that we go to. And they had marrow bones. They've had them, you know, they put them in the oven and they put some Parmesan cheese on top and some spices. And I just, you know, sucked that stuff out of the bone. And so I ordered four of them as an appetizer. And a good friend of mine, Kelly, his partner, is a vegan. And he was sitting right next to me. And the next day I saw Kelly at the gym and he said that Chris, his partner, was literally gagging, but he didn't want to like ruin my birthday party. But he was literally gagging while I was eating the marrow out of the bone. So, yeah, funny story. But I love them. I love them. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah, and like saying, you know, in to the theme of this segment here too, for talking about carnivores, I mean, that's a good way to like if you are wanting to eat a leaner steak, introduce fats like through marrow. But you know our ribeyes have fat in them.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not
they always
totally
do.
So I mean, we have some steaks that can really fit into if you are wanting more fat that one day or leaner some of the other days. So I mean, there's just a lot of flexibility between our products, and what's important there is that the consistency of the way we raise the cattle and produce them is like when they go out in the package, I mean, our nutritional labels, I mean, are almost down to a T as far as what you can get out of it.
Right.
So you're not going to get one ribeye that is super lean and then the next ribeye is super fatty. I mean, we shoot for consistency because that's what our customers want, our consumers want, and certainly what we want to eat too. So.
And the nice thing with those marrow bones that you mentioned, Carl, was we actually split them so they're boated already.
Right.
Because we've heard, you know, lots of horror stories of people trying to do it themselves. And
I used the first time I bought them years ago, they were just, you know, the whole shank bone, the whole shin bone or whatever you want to call it, the cannon bone. In a horse, we call it a cannon bone. And so I figured, oh, I'll be able to cut those. I got a hacksaw. And it took me like 20 minutes to cut one with a hacksaw. Like there was like, it was like bone powder coming out. It wasn't ripping anything. It was like, oh my God. So now, I buy them just already cut and yours are already cut. And you know, there's not a lot of websites where you can buy them at all. They just don't offer them. I guess they think people don't need them. They don't want them. I don't know, but I couldn't find any other beef supplier online that sold them besides you guys.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, a lot of it just comes down to the way they're produced. I mean, when you're talking about a bone saw, you know, and doing it at a level where you can, you know, sell to the public, I mean, you got guys that are throwing these femur bones through a bone saw with a lot of speed and efficiency, and that's a pretty risky job. And I saw it done once, and this guy was smiling on his face with, you know, such speed and accuracy. I couldn't believe he could do what he's doing. But they're difficult to produce. They're difficult to package and ship. But, you know, obviously we found a way to get it done and preserve, you know, really good finished product for folks. And I think it's really unique, you know, and, you know, for the people, you know, we have liver on our site too. So for the folks that are wanting more of a complete access, you know, to some organ meat and the bones and the steaks and the ground beef, it's really designed to complement really anybody's carnivore lifestyle or anyone who just wants more premium beef, right? So even if they're keto or just a normal, healthier diet, we really can fit into any diet.
So my audience I'm sorry, my voice was coming back at me. I thought Joe was saying something. So my audience gets 25% off all beef if they go to shrnetwork.biz/save25, save 25, and I'll repeat it, and they use the code SHR. Are the bones considered a beef product under that? Do they get the code?
Yep. So the beef products that we have on there are all of the certified Piedmontese beef products. We do have a couple of other protein options with soon, hopefully, fingers crossed, some more of that chicken that you guys like.
Yeah.
And then we also have a lineup of Great Range bison. And then we also have a neighboring ranch of ours that we mentioned last time, Morgan Ranch Wagyu. So, you know, if you're looking for getting leaner on the carnivore diet, you know, obviously our steaks and nutrition speaks for itself. But if you're looking for, you know, a special occasion or just want to try a Wagyu product, we have that available as well. But the discount code specific to Superhuman Radio is only certified Piedmontese beef
product. Yeah, and it's still, I mean, you could get lost in just a product that's considered certified Piedmontese beef. You don't have to stray. Also, for a limited time, you're going to get 2 pounds of ground beef with any order of beef, chicken, or bison, plus free shipping. This is the best time. If you've been thinking about Piedmontese beef, you hear me talk about it all the time, I'm going to warn you. If you take advantage of this offer, 25% off all beef, plus 2 pounds of ground beef, which I eat the ground beef every single day. I love the ground beef. Plus free shipping. You're going to hate me because you will never be satisfied with any other beef ever again. You'll go to fine restaurants and you'll have a steak in the back of your head. You'll think, man, I could have made a better steak at home.
Yeah.
You'll be spoiled.
I don't want to eat a restaurant anymore either. Of course, we have a restaurant now on our own facility here that I will eat their steak. But, you know, and it's what's nice, too, is with, you know, we would certainly work with any of listeners here, even to corporate gifts. So, I mean, if they're coming up for holiday gifting for colleagues or coworkers, you know, Joe and I can help work a good discount in. Because right now, you know, no matter how you shake it, 2020 has been a testing time for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
You know, to extend out to coworkers or colleagues or customers, you know, a gift of food could be a really touching gift, you know, and you're sending them really good beef, you know, stuff that you know they're going to enjoy. And Joe and I will put a nice discount together to make sure everyone's happy. And it's just a good time of year to start thinking about.
That's
and
a great idea.
Carl, too, because, you know, it seems like at least where we are here in Nebraska, 2020 and COVID is kind of sticking around. Longer than most probably envisioned. So, you know, that's probably going to have an effect with families congregating for Christmas, Thanksgiving, et cetera. And, you know, we're here also, with, especially with some key timed holiday sales and promotions, you know, that you're able to kind of still share that meal, potentially cities, neighborhoods, states apart, you know, with our mail order beef right to your front door. So you may not be able to be together, but there's no reason why you still can't share in that same meal.
That's a great idea. If you have five people in your family that can't get together, buy a tomahawk steak for the other four, and you all cook it on the same day, get on Zoom, and sit down and have Christmas dinner together. How about that?
And I think you'll probably see a lot of that this holiday season just because of the nature of what's happening.
Yeah. Again,
I actually tried that with my brother and a couple of friends. We had a little grill-off, a virtual grill-off. It was just tough to declare a winner, you know?
Yeah, because nobody could taste. Yeah. Good. You had to take somebody else's word for it. Now, mine actually tastes better than yours, I think. Save 25% off all certified Piedmontese beef. Plus, get 2 free pounds of ground beef and free shipping. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SAVE25, and that's capital S-A-V-E, all caps. shrnetwork.biz/SAVE25, and take advantage of it, because I promise you, you won't be satisfied with any other beef. Again, we went to a restaurant the other night, and I had a New York strip. And I said to Elisa, I said, you know, the New York strips I make at home taste better than this. It's just, it's very, I'm trying to come up with a term. Is it beef envy or Piedmontese envy? You know, the people are going to start suffering Piedmontese envy. They're going to go, man, this doesn't taste as good as the steaks I have at home. So you said something about a restaurant. Are you planning on opening up restaurants in major cities like Chicago, New York, L.A.?
It's interesting. I mean, our restaurant here is probably going to be the best steakhouse in the Midwest, you know, if we can get people to come here to Lincoln, Nebraska. I mean, we're pulling beef right from the source, so it really helps. But, you know, if this concept works well and responds well and we can get the resources in place to expand, I mean, I wouldn't. You know, it compliments to our most of our retailing or our box beef businesses going out to the coast and other big cities. So no doubt at some point it would make sense to probably have a restaurant in one of those big cities. And it's called Casa Bovina, a little play on cowhouse, is loosely translated.
Yeah, Casa Bovina. That's cute. Yeah.
So it's really awesome. And, you know, it is based on an idea of a steakhouse with some Italian inspiration, but we really draw from local fresh ingredients to really build a dining experience. So it's not like a steak and salad and potatoes, you know, it's
not Outback.
No.
It's not that good.
Yeah. We're,
yeah. That blooming, you know, that blooming onion has lost its appeal. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. It's a great sharing menu. So, I mean, you're really just getting the best of the best. And we have a James Beard nominated chef that's from here in Nebraska. And, it's just a good showcase to our beef. And a really great place to eat. We have staff meals on Thursdays, so we actually just came from ours, and it's what a treat it is to come into a steak and potato dish, come right on the show here. So.
Thanks, guys.
And we both probably, you know, bit off more than we could chew. You know, 14 pounds.
I'm sure that you used that before, Joe. That you used that term before. Bit off more than you can chew. I like that. You guys are the best. Your beef is the best. And thank you for being a sponsor of the show. Show them some love. These are the people that make this show possible. If you like the R-alpha lipoic acid discussion that we just had, and you're thinking, man, I'm going to use that, Certified Piedmontese brings you that information by being a sponsor of this show. Go to shrnetwork.biz/allcaps, SAVE25, use the code SHR, Save 25% off all beef. Get 2 extra free pounds of ground beef plus free shipping. It doesn't get better than that. Try it. You won't ever buy any other beef again. Guys, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks. See you, Carl.
We'll talk soon. And that's it for today's show. I am so excited about the R-alpha lipoic acid discussion. I have my R-alpha right here. I have two more. I already took 200 milligrams, and I'm going to go ahead and take 200 more here in a couple minutes so that I can experience the 600 milligram experience that we just talked about. And I'm going to start taking it every morning. And I hope some of you do too, because I'd love to share notes maybe in a month or two, see what we notice. Let's see. Tomorrow we have a great show with Bioptimizers. You won't want to miss that. And next Friday, I think, is the date that Dr. Betsy Yerth is going to come on. And we're going to talk about a peptide that's more anabolic than some anabolic steroids. Stay tuned for this one. This is stuff you only get here on Superhuman Radio. You don't get it anywhere else. All right, look, thanks for being here. Thanks for participating. All the live viewers that ask questions, Chrissy's Fox, thank you for all of your intelligent questions. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Stay strong.